We get the hour underway, though, by welcoming back to the program a talented singer-songwriter who's been making great music for more than four decades now, back on tour, and has got a brand new album out, a double album called The Wild, Exciting Sounds of Marshall Crenshaw, live in the 20th and 21st century. We are pleased to be joined once again by Marshall Crenshaw. I'm going to talk about the album, of course, but also been very excited to see that you've been back out doing some live shows and working with the Smithereens again. What's that been like to get back out on the road in front of an audience?
It's kind of remarkable, you know. It feels a little odd, actually, but, I mean, it feels great. It's just you know, like a transition, I guess, to get used to being out in the world again. Funny, but anyway, the first show I was on was maybe like 7-8 weeks ago, and it was a multi-artist Bob Dylan tribute thing at the Bearsville Theater. And, you know, all of us, it was our first time doing a show since 2 years ago. But, like, you know, the audience remembered what to do, and we all remembered how to do what we do, and everybody just kind of, the audience is, it seems like we're all just kind of falling back into it. Like, well, okay, like, did anything happen, interesting happen since we saw each other the last time, you know? It's funny, but, you know, I mean, I love it, obviously, right?
Well, the new album is so good, and in perfect timing for the wild, exciting sounds of Marshall Crenshaw live in the 20th and 21st centuries. It's like a gift to those of us who've been missing live music.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. But you're right. Yeah, it's all live. So if you haven't been to a show, you can get that record and hear the crowd, and you know, maybe it'll trigger something.
So for you, what do you think is a better representation of you as an artist? Is it when you do a studio recording, or is it seeing you in a live performance?
I just try to rise to the occasion, whatever it is, you know. I mean, I love record making, always have. It's like a craft and an art and all that, you know. And but then when you're on stage and playing in the moment, that's a different kind of exercise, of course. But, you know, I try to do the best I can, whatever the situation, you know.
Well, the album is so great because it really does encompass your career. And on disc one, part one, some great songs from early on, including kicking it off with Monday Morning Rock and Try from Field Day, which, you know, I've told you before, is one of my favorite albums of all time. And it there were some critics along the way, but I don't know, those songs to me, live or whether in the studio recording, are still just great pieces of music.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad you feel that way. I did a licensing deal just recently for my first two albums to come out in 40th anniversary editions. That's going to happen like next year, and so yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Field Day back on the market. Back out in the world, and you know, there'll be like bonus tracks and the whole nine yards and everything.
I was in a supermarket the other day, and what do I hear but Whenever You're On My Mind? And I thought, in any kind of just and fair universe, everybody would be singing along, because it would have been one of the classics from the early 80s that everybody knew, because it had been a number one hit and had hung out for about 6 months on the Billboard charts.
Well, that was the plan from my end, but anyway, yeah, it really is kind of remarkable, honestly, like how much, you know, that song is out there, like the way it is, because it, like you said, it wasn't a hit, even though it sure sounds like one, but it was a cult hit and not a real hit. But that's a long kind of dirty story that I don't want to get into, but you know, nevertheless, that song, it's like, I I hear it myself. I hear it in public all the time. And I think, wow, I guess maybe I was right about this one.
A lot of cuts from the first album on this new live album as well. Brand New Lover. There She Goes Again, which I don't know, that's always in my Marshall Crenshaw top three of all time.
Yeah, thanks. And my brother with the triplets on the hi-hat. And I copied that drum beat from It's All Right by The Impressions. You know that one?
I sure do. Absolutely.
Yeah, we used that drum beat a couple times with the triplets on the hi-hat. We used it on There She Goes Again, and then we used it on the song on Field Day called Try.
Yeah.
At a slower tempo. You know, we always got a lot of ideas from R&B records and black music over the years.
We're talking with Marshall Crenshaw. The new album is out now. It is absolutely terrific. The wild, exciting sounds of Marshall Crenshaw. Live recordings from the 80s up to present times. It wouldn't be a Marshall Crenshaw performance without some great covers. And you do a couple great Elvis songs, Big Hunk of Love, and Got a Lot of Living to Do.
Yeah, Elvis Presley, right? I still like Elvis Presley. And I don't know, it's kind of, not really sure what his place in history is going to be at this point, but, you know, I still like to hear him, and I don't play those tunes anymore, but that, you know, it was a lot of, like, rockabilly revivalism going on at that time, and that was a big part of our presentation, for sure.
Well, and your taste in music and your knowledge of particularly 50s and 60s music is so great. It's a fantastic cover that you do of the Jive Fives' What Time Is It?
Yeah, that was kind of an amazing surprise for me, just to hear that there was a live version of that tune and that we played it really, really nicely and on stage. You know, I think maybe we're playing it kind of fast because I was nervous as to whether the audience was going to enjoy it or not or something, but you know, that's what I really liked about hearing the tapes of disc one is it's just how sharp we were, you know, like we had these cool arrangements that worked with just a minimal number of people. That one's, that's a good example. It's just, you know, it's off. I'm very fond of that one.
You might be the only guy, I think I've told you this before, you might be the only guy that could cover in a concert everything from ABBA to Bootsy Collins.
Right. Don't forget Al Green. We do this Al Green song on the album.
Yes.
And, I mean, we actually play it okay, too, you know? I mean, it's kind of brave of us to take that one on, but anyway, you know, we just are having fun. That's what struck me about it, is it just sounds like kids having fun. And that's what it is. We're just so in love with what we're doing, and the audience is giving us all kinds of affirmation, and it's just really fun to listen to, for me.
Oh, it's fun. It brought a smile to my face, and that's the beauty of music is that power to bring joy, but also make you feel other things. And it's all on this album. And the second side, disc two, even more of that, but more recent songs, a couple of terrific songs from the album Jagged Land. I love Passing Through, and that one just, that gets you right. Gives you all the feels, as the kids say.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, disc two is nice. There are six tracks on there where it's me and the Bottle Rockets. And, you know, I just got such a huge amount of energy from those guys when we played together. And, you know, it's like they're all taken from the same performance, but we were just like really locked in that night, you know.
I wish that the
liner notes for disc two were included in the package, so you could read the whole saga. Because if you get the album, you know, with the two discs, it really does kind of cover my whole time span if you're interested in that. But then I also wrote liner notes for both discs, and it's almost like an autobiography in there, kind of, you know.
Well, and it's the only way. You know, I'm like you. I grew up listening to albums, and part of that experience was, first of all, checking out the cover and the artwork and seeing what that was all about, but then sitting down with those liner notes to break down every song and to, as we used to do, even think about the track sequencing and what that meant.
Right, absolutely. The thing with the liner notes to disc two on this album is the record label was owned and operated by a guy that I've known since 1979, I think, you know, a longtime friend. And, you know, he says that they're determined to, like, you know, not have their, like, the amount of material that they use, you know, like the amount of paper and, you know, like the amount of plastic in the thing. He says, you know, they really want to keep all of that to a minimum. And so I'm fine with that. But, you know, therefore he put the liner notes to disc two just on the internet only. Mm. So you can only see it that way. But anyhow, that's my only beef about the whole thing. And I'm not really seriously beefing about it. You know what I mean?
Also on side two, all right, I'll admit it publicly, it's my favorite Marshall Crenshaw song, Television Light. I love the imagery. I think it's some of your best lyrics, and I find it to be such a cinematic song.
Ah, that's a good word. Well, great, you know. I mean, I like it too, so I'm glad you like it. And the guys in the Bottle Rockets play it great too. We really had a nice thing going. One of the fellas in the band decided during lockdown that he liked being at home and not leaving his house. And honestly, you know, that was his choice. It's like, this is where I want to be. I'm staying. No more show business. And, I actually get where he's coming from, honestly. But anyway, so therefore, the thing with me and the Bottle Rockets is a thing that is over now, more or less. But, you know, if you were at any of these shows or those shows, you can get the 2-CD set and have a souvenir of the whole thing, you know.
Yeah, and the whole thing ends on a great high note with a wonderful version of Richard Thompson's Valerie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did that one on one of my Warner Brothers albums. The last one I did for Warner Brothers has a lot of, you know, outside material on it, just because I wasn't in the mood to write any songs at the time. And but Valerie, yeah, that's kind of stayed in the set over the years. It's, you know, it's just a good kind of guitar playing song. And the guy in the Bottle Rockets, John Horton, he plays lap steel on that one. You know, it's just kind of, you know, it's just real nice.
We're talking with Marshall Crenshaw. Marshall, what's on your playlist? If it's, let's say it's a late summer, early fall night, and you want to relax and kick back, what do you throw in the old stereo?
You'd be surprised to hear this, maybe, but I don't play that much music in the house. Just as a rule, it's funny, but with my hearing being as beat up as it is, it's just like, I love the silence. But like the last, let me see, I bought some records recently. I got an album called Bennett Sings, Basie Swings.
Oh, man.
That's Tony Bennett singing with the Count Basie Orchestra. And then I got an album in the mail from a friend of mine, and it's an old album by guitar player Johnny Smith. And then I bought the first Funkadelic album a little while ago. I was just in the car and I had the 50s channel on for a minute. I always go back to the 50s stuff. The older I get, the more I go back to that stuff. But God, I don't know. I don't really, I wish I had a snappy answer for that one, but that's my answer right at this moment.
Hey, that's snappy enough for us.
Let's say it's Tony Bennett, Count Basie, that's my go-to right now.
That works for us. Hey, what's the status? So last time we talked with you, you were working on a documentary of the great producer Tom Wilson. How is that coming?
It's coming along fine. It really is. We've got a big interview that we're going to do on Friday. I don't want to say who it's with, but anyway, we're moving along. It's going great. We have a great director. The director on the Tom Wilson film, at least I hope he is going to hang in there and stay. He will. But anyhow, the director just has a new one out about Rick James that's on Showtime.
Oh, nice.
And I just watched that one the other night. Anyway, you know, that's really kind of like, it's been such an obsession the whole time I've been doing it. I'm really looking forward to seeing what I might be able to do if I'm not doing that, because that's been pretty overwhelming. It's hard to do, you know. It's like, it's hard to make a movie.
Well, yeah, and then COVID didn't exactly make it any easier.
It's like what?
COVID didn't exactly make it easier for you either.
Nope, that just brought me to a dead stop for most of a year, yeah. But anyway, we're just all hanging in there, and now we're out in the world again, playing rock and roll. It's actually marvelous, you know, amazing, a gift, and like I'm grateful.
Well, we're grateful to have some new music in the album, Wild Exciting Sounds of Marshall Crenshaw, live in the 20th and 21st centuries. It's so great to see you back out there on the road. I hope we can get you up here to New England at some point soon and have a chance to see you perform.
I'll try to make it, I promise.
All right, that sounds great.
I'm going to be out and around in 2022, so I'll hope to see you there.
That's the plan. Marshall, thanks as always for making time for us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Rich.